You're listening to The Takeaway with John Hockenberry and Adora Udoji from WNYC and PRI, Public Radio International, in collaboration with the BBC World Service, The New York Times, and WGBH Radio Boston.
Good morning, everybody. When it was announced in the last decade that China would be the host of the 2008 Olympics, certainly everybody thought and believed that a window like none ever before would open on China. Well, certainly that has been the case, and the window that has opened in the months leading up to the Olympics has been more detailed and more interesting and more tragic than anyone could have expected. The Chinese first showed themselves in the protests that took place in Tibet. Then there was the tragic earthquake. And now, as we approach the Olympics, the Chinese sort of the context of an identity of the nation that has called itself for thousands of years the center of the world is changing again. Joining us now is Brooke Gladstone, the host of NPR's and WNYC's On the Media. She spent the past week in China. She's in Hong Kong. The state of Chinese media is our subject this morning, Brooke, and I'm wondering if you can give us a sense of how people in China are thinking of themselves, given these two enormous waves of global attention in the Tibetan demonstrations and now the earthquake.
Hello, John. Hello, Adora. I think people are feeling pretty good about themselves with regard to the kind of national coming together, the heroism that we saw in the wake of the earthquake. With regard to the Tibet issue, there's a lot of perplexity and no small amount of anger. They feel that the West is misinformed, they don't understand the Chinese position, and they're frankly confused why there seems to be a reflex to condemn China when China increasingly considers itself a partner on the global stage and wants to be accepted by nations.
Has there been a change in the way the Chinese media has been covering the earthquake? In the beginning, it seemed like an unprecedented opening to the entire world as media was allowed to cover virtually every aspect of that story. Indeed, public radio listeners were witness to some amazing reporting by our colleagues at NPR. But as recently as last week, we had pictures of parents outraged over the construction of schools being pulled away from cameras in demonstrations that appeared to be motivating some kind of a crackdown. What have you observed?
Well, the thing is that the Chinese media just are not free. What you saw at the beginning was partly a response to an ordinance that was passed on May 1st regarding rules about coverage, which were calling for more openness, particularly in the event of disasters, but across a whole variety of issues. But it was easy to allow open coverage then because the storyline was very positive, very comfortable. You know, it was about heroes. It was about tragedy. It was about public support, global sympathy. I mean, a disaster is not a hard thing to cover once you get around the fact that something bad has happened to your nation and the rest of the world is going to know, because there is no one to blame. You can't blame anyone for an earthquake. You can blame people for shoddy school construction. That created a bit of a conundrum within the Chinese propaganda ministries. And yeah, they made some attempt to pull those people away. That was a story that everybody saw, but the fact is everybody saw it. And there still is reporting on the shoddy schools, even though there are quiet whispers, could you cool it, could you cool it? But the fact of the matter is a ban is not a ban in China. You get around it, you find kind of sideways to deal with it, and the stories can get out. There was something actually remarkable that happened last week, which sort of really points this out, this sort of weird ambiguity about whether or not the media are free here or not. And I don't know, do we have time for a quick story?
Sure, go ahead.
Okay, well, there is, you know, they say that there are several things you can never mention in Chinese media. They're called the three T's and the F, Taiwan, Tibet, Tiananmen, and Falun Gong, the religion. Now, for 19 years, there has been a commemoration of Tiananmen Square in Hong Kong. It has never been reported in mainland China. Last week on the China-controlled CCTV website, it was the sports website, there was a picture for the first time of that demonstration, and it was called A Moonlight Vigil for the victims of the Sichuan earthquake. Now, that may seem a little strange and indirect, but everybody knew what it was, and it disappeared very soon after that. They talked about the martyrs and the mourning. They just didn't specify what sort of martyrs they were, but
But it had nothing to do with the earthquake, right?
Absolutely nothing to do with it, and everybody knew.
But at the same time, Brooke, there's been all kinds of reports. Some Chinese journalists saying that officials from the central government have told their news organizations not to continue reporting on the issues of those unsafe schools, as you just mentioned. There was reports from the Australian Broadcasting Corporation that some of their journalists were swayed from covering the school and parents and the
Australian
protests.
Journalists?
Australian Broadcasting Corporation on Thursday that police detained a three-person crew for 3 hours.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And then there was another on Wednesday, a Radio Netherlands journalist and reporter with the Dutch Publishing Group. In other words, there was at least 5 or 6 reported instances where journalists were either taken into custody or discouraged strongly from covering these issues about the construction.
Right. No, absolutely. And as I said at the beginning of this, the Chinese media are not free. The thing is that the control, when we hear about a ban or something like that, you know, we just think that people follow it. And the thing is that some people do, some people don't. Sometimes a bunch of cops show up and it's enforced. But generally, they don't like to. Generally, these local officials, provincial officials, even members of the propaganda ministry will call newspapers, generally state-controlled papers, and you know, not so subtly suggest that they stay away from certain stories or they report them in particular ways.
Well, with full coverage of how to get around the media bans in China, I guess the best place to listen to would be On the Media, right? Brooke Gladstone is the host of On the Media from WNYC.
Thanks for the plug, guys.
Thank you very much.
Reporting
from Hong Kong.
Bye-bye.
Since WNYC's first broadcast in 1924, we've been dedicated to creating the kind of content we know the world needs. In addition to this award-winning reporting, your sponsorship also supports inspiring storytelling and extraordinary music that is free and accessible to all. To get in touch and find out more, visit sponsorship.wnyc.org.